It's World Radio Day, and I've been wishing you all that best. And I told you I'll be joined by two prominent radio personalities, and I'm just going to ask them to introduce themselves, and then I'm going to say Happy World Radio Day. Good afternoon, ladies first.
Good afternoon, Moro.
Good to have you guys on the show. Madam, please just introduce yourself.
My name is Martina Brooks, and I work as a radio producer here at Miraya. I am from the West African country called Liberia.
Oh, yes.
Africa's oldest republic.
Okay, I see. I look. And Happy World Radio Day.
Happy World Radio Day to you too.
Martina, very quickly, you've been a very prominent personality in your country before you came to South Sudan.
Yeah.
And as soon as you set foot on South Sudan, you won an accolade. Tell us about that.
Okay, so I got here in 2017.
Uh-huh.
At that time, we were being nominated for the West Africa's on-air personality award. That's a regional award for West African countries. And till date, I don't know who nominated me for that award. But I got nominated, and I was, you know, overwhelmingly voted for. And we went through another process where they have to evaluate the level of work you have done for the year on a review. We did that. So out of 18 persons from different West African countries, so I won the OAP award that year.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Are you hoping to win more from South Sudan?
And thanks to South Sudan. I came with a special kind of blessing.
Great. Now, tell us about your department of production. What do you produce? Mostly radio.
Yeah.
Sports,
radio,
music, politics.
Yeah, just maybe almost everything. I work with the Breakfast Show team. I work with the guys who do the sports, Captain Pawan Ohia, Gabriel Daniels. And I also work with my night partners, Philip Wani and George Livio, on the Youth Forum program that airs every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 to 10. And I also produced the program that highlights the work of UN volunteers in South Sudan. It's called The Spotlight. It comes on every Friday at 2 p.m. And I also work with the news team.
That's massive. Martina, from the oldest republic.
Uh-huh.
Liberia, as you have just proclaimed. No problem. That's okay with me for now. How has radio impacted Liberia?
A lot. South Sudan, you know, we went through our own crisis, 14 years of civil war. Radio played a very pivotal role, especially when it came to the issue of disarmament. So I think we have some issues in common. So South Sudan and Liberia, a lot of the people there, they are illiterate. So you wouldn't find a lot of them buying newspaper to read, and a lot of them cannot afford to subscribe to television stations or to even have a television at home. So the one thing that I relate to is radio. So it can be that Mose or that mama in the village, he or she has, you know, his or her radio. So the messages that we send out through the radio actually help them a lot. We were able to use radio to go through the disarmament process. We were able to use radio. I remember the first elections we had after the war was in 2005. That was when I started with the UN radio. We were able to use radio to educate the public about the importance of elections. And because years before I was born, women were not allowed to vote in my country, so we're able to use radio to tell the women that as long as you are 18 and above, you can also vote. And we were also able to take them through the processes of, you know, registering to vote, and also telling them that if you register here in Quebec, you're not going to go to my hometown in Yambio to vote. Mm-hmm. Where you register is where you're going to vote. Even if there's a by-election, you will vote there. So we're able to take them through all of the processes. So we had the 2005 and 2011 elections, and the 2017 when I was in there. So a lot of people already knew that process. And then another thing radio did for my country that was massive is the Ebola outbreak. we had this Ebola outbreak that was terrible. You may have heard
of it. Yeah, actually, that is my next question.
It was very terrible, terrible, to the point that radio, we had to divide the team into two. So it's like every day we were going to work, working morning to the evening hours. But when it begins so, you know, terrible everywhere, we had Ebola, including the capital, and then we have to be at work every day. We have to be with our families. So we divided the team into two. So we had Team Red and Team Blue. So if Team Red comes to work today, like maybe Sebi and I, we are on the same team, we come to work on Monday. Mm-hmm. Tuesday, we stay at home. Then Moro and Shada come to work the next day. Mm-hmm. The following day, you stay at home. And a lot of people did not know much about Ebola. At first, when it started from Guinea, then it went to Sierra Leone. Then the health ministry requested for like $1.2 million. But because a lot of people did not know about Ebola, they said, okay, the health ministry wants to eat, you know, the Liberian people money, so we did not take it seriously. But when it became really worse and we couldn't handle it, that's when we used radio. We used different messages, different local languages, and then a lot of people could relate with we call it the simple Liberian English. So we started using the simple Liberian English. So all of our programs have Ebola related issues. So the morning show, when we start our talking point, which we would take, you know, we basically talked about Ebola but from different angles. Mm-hmm. Then we'll have a special program for that that used to come like every morning at 11. So we use different techniques, different campaign using radio.
Great, very vast. Martina, let's talk about your worst moment in radio.
My worst moment, my worst moment. This one may
sound... You've been having a honeymoon throughout your radio career. Do you want to say so?
Maybe, yeah. Because I've been with radio since I was in high school. Mm-hmm. Okay, because I remember a few times, and we had this chief of radio. Because when I first started, apart from being, you know, a reporter that would go out and cover stories for news, the first program I remember I started with in radio, major program, was the sports. And then I was responsible for the international sports. I had my colleague who go in the field and do the local sports. So most times he would tell me, you know, listen to live commentary, read aloud, watch the games. Because, you know, these international players, the way the ordinary football fan will call the name of Arsene Wenger, you know, a sports producer or presenter, you wouldn't want to call it. And don't feel excited because Arsene Wenger.
What an example for Sebi.
I know, right?
The ordinary sports fan will say, you know, Arsene Wenger.
Yes.
You, as a sports presenter, you should know more. So I wouldn't come on the radio and say Arsene Wenger. Because I remember, I'm like, okay, among all of the sports reporters in this country, I'm the one person who knows at least, you know, most of the international player names. I used to receive calls from some of my local colleagues. Okay, this person playing Italy, how do I pronounce their name? So in my mind, I felt I know it all. And then one day, I remember I did a sports program, then I got off air and my chief called me. I called my supervisor then and said, you know what? I don't want her on the sports program anymore. She cannot pronounce a single player's name. And wow. I said, I'm like, in
just
my
like
mind,
that.
I'm like, in my mind, the Martina and everybody called us, you know the name of
the consultant has been fired for the drink. <that thing. laughs>
You know, I felt terrible that day, but as a person who really doesn't give up, I went back to the sports program. And another time, I remember I did something, and then he took me off. He said, you're not going on the program anymore. But being someone who was born on a very hot Monday, I'm sometimes high-headed. So I went back to the sports program. But then at the end of it, after some years, after he was leaving a mission, he called me and said, you know what, I'm proud of you and thank you so much for making me proud. Then I realized that he was doing those things to make me, you know, a better person.
Absolutely.
You're listening to The Beat at the moment. It's coming up to 2 minutes to 12 hour. And with me in the studio is Martina Brooks, who is a UNV, working with Radio Miraya as a producer as well.
When your program is being used as a reference, you know, remember back then when I was doing the morning show and I tried to introduce a topic about expired goods. I didn't know that there were lots of people who were using things without checking the expiration date. So I got lots and lots of feedback from that. So I made it my duty to talk about expired goods at least once or twice every month. And after that time, you know, people will say, you know, I don't normally use anything again without checking the expiration date. Happy Warren Radio Day to us, the listeners, or whoever benefits from radio. Radio is your friend. Radio goes where, you know, the print or other media institution will not go. We reach you at your doorstep, and we are here for you. Radio is like the middleman. We are not like somehow utility player. We are the midfield. We take from you, we take from there, and we put it at, and we distribute. So happy World Radio Day to us, and happy World Radio Day to all of our colleagues here at Radio Mirai. Thanks for the amazing work you've been doing.
Yes, to the team.
And thank you for coming all the way from Liberia to come and volunteer in Sasso and give to us the service.
Okay.
Great. To our listeners.
And thanks also to the UNV office in Sasso.
Oh, yes. Why not? She's around. I've seen her. Thank you so much for coming, guys.